Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 12. Parikshito tarajarsher janma karma valapanam samstam chapandu putranam bhakshe krishna katodayam. Sutta Goswami thus addressed the rishis headed by Shonaka. Now I shall begin the transcendental narration of the Lord Sri Krishna and topics of the birth, activities, and deliverance of King Parikshit, the sage amongst kings, as well as topics of the renunciation of the worldly order by the sons of Pandu. Purport. Lord Krishna is so kind to the fallen souls that he personally incarnates himself amongst the different kinds of living entities and takes part with them in daily activities. Any historical fact, old or new, which has connection with the activities of the Lord is to be understood as a transcendental narration of the Lord. Without Krishna, all the supplementary literatures like the Puranas, Mahabharata, are simply stories or historical facts. But with Krishna, they become transcendental. And when we hear them, we at once become transcendentally related with the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam is also a Purana, but the special significance of this Purana that the activities of the Lord are central and not just supplementary historical facts. Srimad Bhagavatam is thus recommended by Lord Sri Chaitanya as the spotless Purana. There is a class of less intelligent devotees of the Bhagavad Purana who desire to relish at once the activities of the Lord narrated in the 10th canto without first understanding the primary cantos. They're under the false impression that the other cantos are not concerned with Krishna. And thus, more foolishly than intelligent, they take to the reading of the 10th canto. These readers are specifically told herein that the other cantos of the Bhagavatam are as important as the 10th canto. No one should try to go into the matters of the 10th canto without having thoroughly understood the purport of the other 9 cantos. Krishna is pure devotees, like the Pandavas on the same plane. Krishna is not without his devotees of all the rasas. And the pure devotees, like the Pandavas, are not without Krishna. The devotees in the Lord are interlinked and they cannot be separated. Therefore, talks about them are all Krishna Katha, or topics of the Lord. Omigana Timurandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Mulutam Yena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Apitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vansha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from the Bhakti Center. I was very happy yesterday. I gave the second section of my Nectar Devotion seminar, and the numbers basically remain steady, where there's usually a pretty much rapid fall off. So that's a good thing, and a few new people came. And like I say, that's my dream, to teach the sacred text directly, because I just know their power. It's both experiential and intellectual. It's both. It gives you an understanding of God and an experience of God at the same time. And the understanding leads to the experience. Because when you're confronted with knowledge, a sincere person acts on that knowledge. A sincere person changes their life. And we'll undergo the discomfort sometimes, because we have attachments, and when we actually are presented the truth, then sadhu sarg, friction. There may be friction between reality and our life. Sometimes when this struggle is actually a good sign that we're sincere. Anyway, it's just wonderful. So many people that I've seen coming for years now, taking the next step, which is really to become educated in a deep way. Anyway, it was just great. And of course, there was also a wedding of the temple president, Ananta Dev, and by his sincere service, Krishna found him such a suitable partner. He's such a bright, practical-minded person. And somehow Krishna sent him a devotee, nice lady that's very, very sober and intelligent. And it was just really great to see the whole thing. And it's all Prabhupada's mercy, that's for sure. Interesting, I'm going to be talking about something similar in the Bhagavatam class today. This is the third question that the sages of Namasharanya ask about the Bhagavatam, and that's about the Maharaj Prickett, who was the public recipient of this knowledge that was recorded or witnessed by Suta Goswami. So they asked him, you know, tell us about this Maharaj Prickett, about his birth and his activities, his death. And Suta announces, I shall begin transcendental narration of Lord Sri Krishna. I shall begin that narration of Vakshe Krishna Kato Dayam, that which gives rise to the transcendental narration of Krishna. And it's because the question was about Maharaj Prickett. He says, now I shall speak Krishna Katha Dayam, the narration which gives rise to the transcendental narration of Krishna. Because what is a devotee? A devotee carries the heart of God. A devotee carries the heart of God. That's what a devotee means. A devotee means he tries to please what? One's desire. The devotee has that desire of Krishna. That's what bhakti is. Intentionally wanting to please. You have to know what pleases someone. You have to know what their heart is. The devotee carries the heart. And it's not easy to get that heart. Don't give your heart to someone who's not your devotee. They can crush it. Therefore, we were reading yesterday the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The fourth quality, a fourth characteristic of pure devotional service is that it's sudulabha. It's very, very rare. And one rarity is it's in Krishna's hands. And he's not going to give that devotion to someone unless they demonstrate their love by service. You demonstrate your love by service. And bhakti is that service. Bhakti is devotional service. It's the expression of that love. Which gives you the information, gives God the information he needs to know to decide whether or not he'll give you his heart. So here, Krishna Katodayam, the narrations of Krishna, he's talking about the devotee. Because what is in the devotee's heart is love of Krishna, and what comes out of the devotee's heart is love of Krishna. What's in the devotee's heart is love of Krishna, what comes out of the devotee's heart is love of Krishna. So when you're with the devotee, you get Krishna. And that's why sadhu sangha is so important, because it's the satsang, it's the form by which you get Krishna. And more than getting Krishna, you get love of Krishna. Because that's why Krishna comes out of the devotee's heart. What comes out of the devotee's heart is not just Krishna, but love of Krishna. So, he's telling Shonaka Rishi, I shall narrate the narrations of Krishna and the deliverance of Maharaj Cricket, because they are so intimately related, because Krishna is introduced in the Bhagavatam in the narration of Maharaj Cricket, because the narration of Maharaj Cricket begins in before his birth in the womb of his mother at the end of the war when Ashwatthama is about to throw the Brahmastra weapon to kill him. And the Brahmastra is a atomic smart bomb that can be directed at a target. So Ashwatthama directed at the womb to abort this child, who was the last descendant of the Kuru dynasty. See, he was to abort this child, and Krishna appeared in the womb. Krishna appeared to protect. So we're introduced to Krishna. The birth of Maharaj Cricket is so significant because in the Bhagavatam, to tell this story of his birth, we're brought down to the end of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And when we're brought down to the end of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when we're brought down to the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, there's Krishna on the chariot. It's the first time we see Krishna. So these narrations of Krishna are so connected to the birth and activities of Maharaj Cricket. And then in his death, when he dies or in his last days, then what happens? Sukadeva Goswami comes to him and to answer his questions, what are the duty of a man who's about to die and what should he not do? And he comes to him and he manifests the Bhagavatam, which is Krishna. After Krishna leaves, he manifests again in Krishna. He manifests again in the Bhagavatam. So, very, very significant here. And the purport, what Prabhupada said, is what makes Shastra significant is that it's about Krishna or God. There may be so-called historical facts, but they're historical facts in relationship to Krishna, which is either Krishna or the devotees of Krishna. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. That when you hear the Bhagavatam, nasta prayeshu abhadreshu, that which is auspicious becomes destroyed, almost to nil. Bhagavata nastabeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya, by regularly serving the Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada makes the point, there's no difference between the Bhagavatam, the book Bhagavatam, and the person Bhagavatam. Because the book Bhagavatam is about the person Bhagavat, and the book Bhagavat, the person Bhagavat only speaks about the book Bhagavat, and the book Bhagavat only speaks about the person Bhagavat. So that's what makes Shastra, the connection, the theme of Shastra. What makes something Shastra is its connection with God. And so he's talking about Purana. So Purana is what? Puranas are histories. But what's the difference between those histories and any other history? God. And without God, they're simply historical stories or facts. But the difference between other Puranas and the Srimad Bhagavatam is, the prophet says in the purport, that in the Bhagavatam, Krishna is just not, is central. And therefore, it's the spotless Purana, Amala Purana. Because it's not just connected to transcendence, pointing towards transcendence, purifying you towards transcendence. But it is transcendence. It is God. It is directly about Krishna. Everything. Not just taking a step towards Krishna, but actually presenting directly Krishna. And therefore, Prabhupada says, be very careful to not denigrate any part of the Bhagavatam and thinking that only the 10th canto is worthy of hearing. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, who came to experience the love of Radha and was taught by Radha herself in the form of Gadadhar Pandit, how to have the mood of Radha. And he did it by the Bhagavatam. But not just the 10th canto, Lord Chaitanya especially liked to hear the stories of Dhruva and Prahlad. The Bhagavatam is rasa. It's that highest love. And that highest love, it's the love. And it's expressed in many, many ways. Of course, there's still a progression. That the point is to hear the 10th canto, understand the 10th canto, you have to actually be well-versed in Krishna consciousness. You have to know the subjects of the tattvas, not as a scholar, but as a basic understanding of sambandha gyan, a basic fundamental spiritual knowledge. Yeah, you have to understand. You have to be detached, and you have to have a proper understanding. Otherwise, the 10th canto won't have relevance to you. We had a very interesting point in the class yesterday, and one of the participants in my class is really funny. You know, got a little stuffy in the room, so I said, can I open up the window? We'll be a little noisy. So there's one nice man that comes to the class. His name is Satyahari, and he's one of the first disciples of Yogi Bhajan, and he has this big turban. And he also got initiated by somebody in the Gaudiya Math. And he's a very gentle and humble person. Really a gentle and humble person, a wonderful person, actually. So I asked him, is it okay if I open the window? He said, why? He said, it may be noisy. He said, anyway, he said, noise doesn't bother me. I work in the subways. He's the head of the, you know, the transport workers union in New York or something. I don't know. You know, he's a subway, drives a subway. It's such a nice example how bhakti is dedication. Raised two nice children, and both his children are very spiritual children, and they, son and a daughter, and they grew up in Amritsar, in you know, an international school of spiritual life. They grew up in that way. But he said a very interesting thing in class. He said you have to be very, very careful. He's a bit of a scholar himself. He said you have to be very, very careful about use of English words. He said because English words are impregnated with a history. And I said, that's a good point. I gave the example of surrender. When we translate Sharanagati as surrender, then the history of surrender in the Western context is like a bayonet in the back of a, you know, a captured American soldier in you know, somewhere in the Pacific, rather than the concept of finding a shelter by which I give myself to because I will be protected. So anyway, you read the Bhagavatam and it's so purifying and you become detached, you become free from misconceptions. And that's what a pure mind is, the pure intellect. It's free from misconceptions and free from attachments that can that skew our perception. So that's there. To understand more and more intimate side of God. But we foolishly should not neglect any part of the Bhagavatam. And at the same time, if we want to go to the 10th canto, we should have thoroughly understood the other purports. I'll read the end of the purport again. Krishna is not without his devotees of all the rasas. So even if you have a rasa with someone, it doesn't mean their other relationships are not important. If you love someone and they have a loving mother, it doesn't mean that that's not important to you, or they have a brother. It doesn't mean that that's not important. And their relationship with their brother, and their it may reflect on your personal relationship, but it doesn't with that person. That may be your, you know, a lady may have a lover or may have a husband. They may love their husband. It may be romantic. But you don't neglect the feelings that the husband has for the mother. It may be a very beautiful thing for you. Even though you're in that standpoint. Or, you know, his friend. the great friendship he had, the beautiful, perfect friendship your lover had. That's inspiring to you too. So what to speak of aspiring devotees who have not yet come to the stage of bhava, who haven't really understand their relationship with Krishna, who jump to the 10th canto even though they really can't understand it. Of course, we can go to the 10th canto. Prabhupada did give us the Krishna book, but we have to understand it under his guidance. And that's the best way to understand the 10th canto, under the guidance of Prabhupada. Otherwise, it comes off as mythological. It comes off as mundane. When Prabhupada presents the 10th canto, even when you hear it the first time, it doesn't come off as mythological. It doesn't come off as mundane. But you're hearing it couched in Prabhupada's understanding. Devotees of the Lord are interlinked and they cannot be separated. Therefore, talks about them are all Krishna Katha or topics of the Lord. So now we kind of go to that. When the respective warriors of both camps, namely the Kauravas and the Pandavas, were killed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and the dead warriors obtained their deserved destinations, and when the son of Dhritarashtra fell down lamenting, his spine broken, being beaten by the club of Bhimasena, the son of Dronacharya, Ashvatthama, beheaded the five sleeping sons of Draupadi and delivered them as a prize to his master, foolishly thinking he would be pleased. Duryodhana, however, disapproved of the heinous act and he was not pleased in the least. Purport, transcendental topics of the activities of Lord Sri Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam begin from the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra, where the Lord himself spoke of. Therefore, both the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are transcendental topics of Lord Krishna. The Gita is Krishna Katha, or topics of Krishna, because it is spoken of the Lord. And the Bhagavatam is also Krishna Katha, because it is spoken about the Lord. Lord Chaitanya wanted everyone to be informed of both Krishna Kathas by his order. Lord Krishna Chaitanya is Krishna himself and the Garbha devotee. Therefore, the versions of both Lord Krishna and Sri Chaitanya are identical. Lord Chaitanya desired, this is emphasized, that all who are born in India seriously understand such Krishna Kathas, and then after full realization, preach the transcendental message to everyone in all parts of the world. That will bring about peace and prosperity. Anyway, it begins the story and Prabhupada about the end of Kurukshetra. And these are topics about Krishna. And this is the book about Krishna. And then there's a book spoken about Krishna. And this is so. We have to understand them and give them. And Prabhupada's movement is so wonderful in that way. We taste things and we distribute them. And we can't distribute them without tasting them. We can't taste them without distributing them. The concept of giving is called kirtan. And getting is called shravanam. So we have to give and we have to get. And Lord Chaitanya wanted everyone to know about both of them. So here's the same theme. I think it's a theme with Prabhupada. Really, it means read his books. Don't just have to dwell on the 10th canto and stories of the 10th canto. Read his books. Read the Gita. Read the Bhagavatam. It'll give you a taste about Krishna that will blossom into your relationship with Krishna. And if you have a relationship with Krishna, these topics will nourish that relationship, no matter what relationship with Krishna you have. especially those born in India. Bharate Bhumate Hoila Manusha Janmayara Janmasartha Kakara Kara Para Upakara. Those who are born in India should especially do this welfare work. And we're actually seeing it happening. It's astounding how Krishna consciousness is spreading in India. It's absolutely astounding how many people are coming. Every major temple has, like, literally dozens, hundreds of monks, hundreds of people getting trained, thousands of congregation members. Every little city has a temple. New Delhi alone has Gopal Krishnamurti, His Holiness Gopal Krishnamurti. How sincere. I remember when I first came to the temple, I think there was some business person outside, and Prabhupada gave him a garland. Someone gave him a garland to put on Prabhupada. He looked like a child. He was just so innocent, but Prabhupada wanted, like, 12 temples in Delhi, and he's doing it. Major temples. Amazing. All of it, how Krishna consciousness is spreading. One has to take advantage of his fortune if they're born in Punya Bhumi. To understand and then give this. And that will bring about the desired peace and prosperity of the stricken world. We were talking yesterday, when you practice Uttama Bhakti at the stage of Nishtha, then the symptoms are you can benefit everyone. Everyone will be attracted. You have all good qualities. And it leads to happiness. And that happiness is unique because it's superior happiness, because it's eternal and it's inclusive of all other happiness. So Krishna consciousness is Shubhada. It's auspicious because it can bring about the desired peace. And peace in the world means what? It really means changing people's hearts, not giving them some political dogma, but actually changing people's hearts. And how do people's hearts get changed? By association. Association's like a crystal ball. Our hearts reflect what's in our proximity. And if someone has that bhakti ras, that devotion in their heart, and we come in contact with that devotion in the heart, then we transform and we change. So we go on with the story. Draupadi, the mother of the five children, the Pandas, after hearing of the massacre of her sons, began to cry in distress with eyes full of tears. Trying to pacify her great loss, Arjuna thus spoke. O gentle lady, when I present you with the head of that Brahmin, after beheading him with arrows from my Gandiva bow, I shall then wipe the tears from your eyes and pacify you. Then, after burning your son's bodies, you can take baths standing on his head. Well, I should put that verse in my lectures of forgiveness. An enemy sets fire to the house, administers poison, attacks all of a sudden with deadly weapons, plunders wealth, usurps agricultural fields, entices one's wife, is called an aggressor. Such an aggressor, though he be a Brahmin or a so-called son of a Brahmin, has to be punished in all circumstances. When Arjuna promised to behead the aggressor named Ashwatthama, he knew well that Ashwatthama was the son of a Brahmin. But because the so-called Brahmin acted like a butcher, he was taken as such. There was no question of sin in killing such a Brahmin's son who proved to be a villain. So, this is Dharma. There has to be protection in society for the innocent. And when people are aggressors, and have no qualm about committing violence, there's no question of sin in killing them, because the killing of them is dharma or duties. It's not your own personal selfish desire. It's the will of God to protect, that there has to be kshatriya, atrayate, protect from hurt, shut. Arjuna, who is guided by the infallible Lord as a friend and driver, thus satisfied the dear lady by such statements. Then he dressed in armor and armed himself with furious weapons, and getting into his chariot, he set out to follow Ashwatthama, the son of his martial teacher. Okay, are there any questions? Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail. See you soon.
Yeah, okay, Gail, questions?
They have all been answered, Maharaj, thank you. But it was interesting that I was so curious to know what Satya Hari's position was in the subway, and you answered that today, so thank you.
Well, actually, I think he was a drove a train, but also was the head of the union. But he's a really wonderful person, very humble and very intelligent, very intelligent.
Uh-huh.
He's actually a scholar too, but he loves sitting there in the class, and it's a nice sangha, isn't it, Gail? A nice group of people is handling.
Oh yes, very nice. It's always nice at the Bhakti Center.
Okay.
Phil checks, wonderful people.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Haribo Maharaj, Chaitanya Priya.
Voice is coming in loud and clear. Hare Krishna, Chaitanya Priya. Good.
Hare Krishna, okay. So wonderful to clap.
Thank you. Appreciate so much that you're on. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Malati.
Malati, wow, that was great. You came all the way from Delaware. Took advantage, and we'll follow up tomorrow on the things we discussed. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, then we're going to end today because I have a class coming up too. Thank you.